Well, praise the Lord. Let's go right into today's message, and I'm I know I kind of got to get out all the giggles and stuff first, and it doesn't really help. Thank you guys for a blessed day to be here. Thank you, Lord, for it was a cool breeze last night. I felt it. Went outside about 10 o'clock, and it was really pleasant, and I stayed there for a minute or 30, and Robin was like, what are you doing out there? I'm just enjoying, I'm reading, I'm like loving, this is nice. So it was really nice last night. Just the coolness of the evening was great. I personally believe, and as I get into this, let's give the Holy Spirit permission to speak through me, but also we give the Holy Spirit permission to open your ears to listen what God wants to speak, okay? If you would, I'd like that. I'd like us to, God, you're welcome here. Amen. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. So if I go some different places, there's a theme to all this morning, and it will make all sense as we get into this and go through it. But I firmly believe that God's grace that he's given to us in Jesus is salvation by grace through faith is the truth of God's word. It's because it's not just because it's God's word, but because it's God's word is true, and we receive that as true, and we stand on the conviction of knowing who Jesus is as God who came down, displayed his love before us, and gave us his life so that we can have life for eternity. But do you know this? Do you know this? That salvation in Christ, that here and now, as we say yes to Jesus, we are saved at that point. But we are being saved continually. And let me tell you this, and this is the great and glorious thing that none of us have, at least that are in this room, that you can hear my words, you have not completely walked into all of complete salvation yet, because at that moment you're with him in eternity, and at that moment then we discover all of God. Then I believe there's a continuous openness of unfiltered, unhindered discoveries and revelation of God. We are so hindered and limited right now to this finite world, our finite mind, plus all the sin that I participate in that clouds things. The rest of you are all good. You guys get God free and clear. You guys understand him just perfectly. I struggle with him a little bit because I'm me. And so I believe that God is going to, and he is doing this. When we say, let me get into this, is when we pray as Jesus taught us to pray on earth as it is in heaven, we're bringing him into our midst. We're actually saying, God, come in to the midst of this life, this earth, this world. My stuff. God, come in. And with that, let me say this, is what God wants to speak to us and wants us to know so intently this morning. And even in the worship and in the fellowship, he kept confirming it over and over and over again in my spirit, is God is looking for opportunities to give. God is unchanging. He is unshifting. God is looking and always has been looking and still continues to look for opportunities for him to give. Why do you think he says it in Malachi chapter 3 where he says this? He says, you have robbed God. And what did he say in that? He said, you've robbed God. And they say, well, how have we robbed you, God? He said, well, you've robbed me of tithes and offerings. He wasn't looking for opportunity. He's not upset, and he's not saying, you robbed me of my money that I need to do things with. That's not what he's talking about. Hello? Track with me for a second. This is about God and who he is, his unshifting character. God is looking to give. You have robbed me of the opportunity to pour blessing into you. Hello? Seek that. Oh, just let that sink in for a second. If you don't receive it any other way, then you're receiving it wrongly. I'm serious. If you think that God needs your money because God needs money to do things? Thank you for laughing. I'd like a little bit more, though. That's ridiculous. That's absurd. Hello? That's even to the point of stupidity. No, really. And Jordan's not in here. I can say it. Yeah. I'm not supposed to say that word, Papa. I know. But it definitely verges on the point of foolishness, because it's not a truth. Anything that is not a truth is foolishness, and anything that is not God's wisdom is actually foolishness. So my understanding, my thinking, my logic outside of God's wisdom is what? Foolishness.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. You were saying I agree with that in myself too, you know, as you said that. I know. Oh, I got a lot of really good stuff this morning God's given me, so please, let's go. Are you guys with me? I know you're totally with me. I can sense it. I see it. So as I keep asking that, I'm not asking because I'm not. I'm just saying, come on, let's go, do this. So God is looking for opportunities to give, and I believe that's who God is. I believe that He's looking for opportunities to give, and I actually had to rewrite this statement because I wrote it down, and I said, wait, that's not right. That's not 100% correct. Say, God is looking for opportunities to give. God is a giver, not a taker. And as I rewrote that, I said, well, because I know somebody's going to say, but what about in Job where he says, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And lo and behold, we just sang that song this morning. So I thought, well, I'm glad that God, the Holy Spirit, said, rephrase that to what it actually is. He's looking for an opportunity to give. God is looking to bless His children and instill wisdom and courage. So God is looking to instill, He's looking to bless His kids, and He's looking to instill wisdom and courage into His kids. Hello? God is a loving Heavenly Father. All throughout Scripture, He presents Himself as that, because that's who He is. He is a loving Heavenly Father. Me, as a loving Heavenly Father who's a part of a fallen world, who has fallen Himself, I'm constantly looking to instill wisdom, blessing, and courage into my children. And I'm evil at heart, and God is not. So just know that God is looking to do that. So He's looking to bless us. That's why He says it, and I'm going to read a couple of passages of Scripture to back this all up. And then we're going to get some really, really good, meaty, juicy stuff today. Not that this is great to start with. In Numbers chapter 6, verse 23 through 27, in the New Living Translation, you can put it up there however you like, Stephen. But let me read this to you. This is as God was speaking to Moses. He said, tell Aaron and his sons to bless the people of Israel with this special blessing. May the Lord bless you and protect you, or bless you and keep you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord show His favor and give you His peace. And whenever Aaron and his sons bless the people of Israel in my name, I myself will bless them. Do you see that? That's so awesome. Just listen to that. As we speak blessing into each other's lives, we are actually aligning ourselves with the blessing of what God wants to pour into each other's lives. Hello? Hello? Hello, come on, let's get on board with God. That sounds easy to do, but let's do it. Let's get on board with God. God is looking to bless us. He's looking for opportunities to bless us and to pour into our lives. You receive that? Good, good. So He's looking to also give us wisdom, and this is good. James 1:5, listen to this. Again, in the New Living Translation, I just quoted these out of there because it seemed like I just worded just nicely. It says, if you need wisdom, ask for our generous God. He will give it. Ask our generous God, for He will give it to you. If you need wisdom... Okay, wait. If any of you need wisdom... Does anybody need any wisdom? Okay, come on. You guys... I don't think everybody's with me right yet. I need to ask everybody. Are you with me for a second? Maybe we need wisdom.
Amen.
Even the wise still need wisdom. you could have wisdom and be wise. And there's many in this room that are extremely wise and have wisdom. Let me break it to you, though. You need more of it. You don't have all of it yet. So you continuously still need more wisdom. Let's go on. So if we need it, we ask. And our generous God, He will give it to us generously and without holding back. He wants to instill wisdom in His kids. We just simply need to ask. And I know I preached on this a few weeks ago about the biggest part in gaining wisdom and getting wisdom from God is in the asking. Because in the asking is the humility that I need it. And now I'm seeking it from God who actually has it. And I'm not looking it from within myself or from... And it's not bad to look into yourself and say, okay, I need to go through this. And to even look to others that are wise. But really, the first thing we need to do is ask God for wisdom. I believe that by His Spirit, by the power of His Spirit, by the working of Him who He said He is our helper, that He is our helper, and He will give us the wisdom when we simply ask Him. Wow. It really is that simple. Do you guys like that? Yeah. I like that a whole lot. I really do. I just need to ask. That's awesome. And then He's also looking to give courage and strength. This is in 2 Chronicles 16:9. And yeah, I'm rolling through this because there's the juicy stuff is coming about. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, "The eyes of the Lord, they search the whole earth to and fro in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him." Do you hear that? God is looking to instill courage and strength into those who just simply, with a humble heart, commit it to God. Wow. See, God is looking to give. God is looking to give to people, to kids, his children. Hello? That's great news, isn't it? I mean, that's the God of the Bible. That's God of the universe. That is God. Whatever image you can present and whatever image you can come up with in your mind of who God is, it must be in line with He is looking to give and not just smite you. Hello?
Amen.
Amen. And in that, though, in that is where by His grace, in other words, the power from God that God is looking to do, in that, that's where we actually then become what God has intended us to be, because He's wanting to give it to us, and He's wanting to instill it within us, each and every one of us. Each and every one of us. All right, I'll pause and say this. Every one of us, this is an absolute biblical truth. Every person on the face of the earth is significant to God.
Amen.
We really need to know that as a truth. Receive that as a truth. Not just for yourself. Especially for yourself, you need to know that. We struggle that within our own selves. Our own significance. Our own value. But then we also need to know that in regards to others. We know it in regards to ourselves. When we know it in regards to ourselves, we can actually display it to others that they have significance. And I just need to go every direction real quick. Every direction. The good people and the bad people. The easy people and the difficult people. The people that seem to have it all together and the people that just seem to have life all messed up. They have significance. Every one of us. Oh, do you want to go somewhere else? Okay. Muslims, Mormons, JWs, Catholics. Oh, do you want to go somewhere else?
Yes.
Caucasian, Mexican, African American, Asian. Every single person has significance. That's the truth. Hello. If it doesn't, you don't like it, then you don't like the truth.
Amen.
Now we're going somewhere else for a second. Let's go here. This is the heart and the meat of it. You guys with me now?
Yeah.
I either got you really excited or really mad. Before I go into the heart and the depth of what I believe the Lord wants us to hear today, there's something in me right now, in my emotions, in my psyche, in my entire being, that's happening and that's going on, that I'm challenged to put into words, okay? If that makes any sense, I'm just the emotion that I'm experiencing from all and every gamut of it is I'm having a difficult time placing it into words. And my wife will tell you I have a difficult time placing what I did in the day into words. So it should not have surprised you. But what I am saying is this is, and I think that this is the reason I'm saying that is because I'm trusting and relying on God the Holy Spirit to speak to your spirit that my words may not be able to convey. So be open to God the Holy Spirit speaking and resonating in something inside of your spirit that may not be exactly as my words are conveying. You guys follow with me on that?
Yep.
Okay, good. Because I don't even think I can speak words that say, this is what God's like. I'm sorry. Especially English words. We just don't have them. Right? But we can use our words to say, these are the words that God is wanting us to hear today. And His Spirit then will take and it'll highlight and even bring has that ever happened to you guys on a Sunday morning? I sure hope it does. I sure hope that the only thing you get from this Sunday morning and Sunday mornings or Tuesday night or Thursday nights or whenever isn't just the words that the teacher speaks. Because we believe that God the Holy Spirit has the power and He is into enlightening and speaking more than just the words that are spoken, right?
Right.
Amen. Okay, and we're on board. All right, good. God is good and He is for you. God is good and He is for you. But listen to this. And I want you to hear this. And it's going to kind of, everything's going to kind of revolve around this. God is good and God is for you. That is very true. And it's very right. It's a true concept. But until that truth becomes a conviction, it will only be a subject matter to discuss and sometimes even argue. Let me say it about three different ways. And I'll actually quote Bill Johnson, who says this. He says, when truth moves from a concept to a conviction, it actually affects our behavior. And we could even go as far as saying, if truth doesn't move to a conviction, we can easily become hearers of the word and not doers of the word. Hello? And what's the end result of that? You deceive yourself. You understand what I'm saying? You following with me here? Are you with me? Okay, you got to be there with me, not right now, to go to the next step. You understand? Because if we don't go there, if you disagree with that, you can disagree with it, then you're going to be stuck in concepts, and the end result is going to be a lot of deception and delusion on your end, because you simply I'd rather just deal with concepts, because they're safe. See, when I come to the place of convictions, what I'm doing is I'm allowing the Spirit of God highlight the Word of God and actually penetrate the depths of my soul, even the depths of my mind, even the motives of my heart. And that becomes conviction. That becomes something that now I actually have to do something with it and do something about it. I don't just talk about it. I don't just argue a point that it's true or not true. Hello? We just got deep there real quick. Kids, you following me? Okay, young people, you following me? So let's go to some things that Jesus said. He said it in some ways that actually are even a little more straight to the point, and if you want to call it harsh, you can, but he gets right to it. Mark chapter 7. Listen to this discourse that that Jesus has. Starting in verse 1, we'll just start there. You know, and even before we get into this passage of Scripture, just share just a whole lot of stuff going on in my life this week. We've had a friend of ours pass away suddenly, who is younger than I, with two teenage boys, and in their boat, and right in front of his wife and his kids, and just stopped breathing, and went to be with the Lord. And he's a devout Christian, went to be with the Lord in front of his two teenage boys and everything. And a dear friend of Robin and I's that we've known before we started having kids. And, you know, it's just one of those things that you look and you say, God, God. And you just say, God. And you know, that was just yesterday we dealt with that. And that was like, wow, God. Yeah, just emotions that are just flying around everywhere, going to a dance recital with my granddaughter's dance recital, and like over there bawling my head off because like, nah. You know, and seeing, honestly, I lost it this morning because I saw Steven up there banging on the box thingy, cajon, and I just thought of Cameron, and I'm like, boo, back there. It's like I was back there just bawling. I've been bawling all week, and so it's, I don't know. And then Robert's here, and I started bawling, and I know. And I don't know where to place it all in words except just bawl about it. I don't know. I think that's okay, just bawling. Man, my sister Michelle's here, and her little kids, and it's like, man, it's like, ah. That's a good word, hot mess. I even thought, it's like, I'm just a hot mess. Robin said, are you okay? Hot mess. So chapter 7, verse 1, listen to this, and I want us to hear this and receive, because you'll see the subject matter as it gets into the depths, and the gritty part that Jesus gets into is to me, I love it, it's interesting, and at the same time, it's enlightening, and I want to receive what Jesus is speaking to these Pharisees. I want to hear what he's speaking to me and to the church and to us today. So he says this, I'm just going to go... Sorry, verse 1. Then the Pharisees and some of the scribes, they came together with him. Basically, they teamed up on him from Jerusalem. And now when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is, unwashed hands, they found fault. Hello. Be careful when you're finding fault with everybody. You might be tipping the other direction. So, for all the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands in a special way, holding the tradition of the elders. And so when they came from the marketplace where they do not eat unless they wash, and there are many other things which they have received and hold, like washing the cups, pitchers, the copper vessels, and couches, which is, you know, a sitting thingy. It's a couch. That's where we get it. But, you know, they there's all these ceremonial things to keep themselves cleansed from actually touching anything unclean. Hello? Right? We get it. And so that's what they're about. So verse 5, it says, then the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, so why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but they eat bread with unwashed hands? And so he answered and said to them, Well did Isaiah prophesy of you, you hypocrites. As it is written, this people, they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Teaching as doctrine the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men. The washing of pitchers, the cups, and many other such things you do. Hello? Listen to what he's saying in here. Now, I don't think you heard it all. You didn't hear it exactly as Jesus said it, because I went over it too quick, and I could tell that it wasn't understood. So I'm going to explain it. What he's saying in this is, and what he's saying in verse 8, he says, you lay aside the commandment of God and you hold to the tradition of men. You know what he's saying in there also? He says it in another way, and he says this. He says, you cancel out God's word in you. You cancel it out. And you replace it. You cancel it out by subjecting yourself, that saying, my traditions, my thinking, my wisdom is far above God's word. Hello? Well, the ouch part is extremely real, and we need to understand this. How can I do that? Where do I participate in this kind of thing? Is that possible for me? And you might be able to say, well, they didn't have the Holy Spirit to deal with them. It's like, well, okay, but I'm going to get to something else that actually we do, and we're going to talk about it even more so. Because I want us to hear this and understand this is we have the potential to cancel the Word of God. Whoa. I'm serious. And you may say, well, wait, doesn't it say, and here's what, because I heard that it's quoted at least three times this week. And every time it was misquoted. No, that was good. Okay, but here, and it's this. Doesn't God's word not return void? I've heard that quoted at least three times by different people this week, and every time it was out of context because of this. No, I want us to, we are just, please understand, we can be just as guilty, and we can be just as subjected to doing it, to canceling out the word of God in our own lives by placing something, anything, because he said this. Listen to this, what Jesus said. Are you listening to me? Are you listening? He said it. Says, you do this and many other things you also do. And he's referring to you do many things. This is just one little thing Jesus is saying. He wasn't saying that's all you do. That's wrong. And I'm not saying he's going around, but he's saying this little whole washing thing, that's just one little thing you do to cancel God's word that is intended to do what? Give blessing, give life, give hope, give peace, give grace, give faith. Hello? And we cancel it so that we can say, don't do this, don't do that. Now you must be like this and be like that. Hello? Wow. Okay, listen. Let's let the Holy Spirit do this morning. In doing this, we've got to be careful. How do we be careful about this? How do we actually keep ourselves from canceling the Word of God? Hey, you guys, let's do something really neat. Let's read the passage of Scripture in context that says His Word does not return void. Isaiah 55 is actually where it's found, since you asked. And I'll go there. But we got to read the whole passage of Scripture. So let's follow through with it. Listen to this. Does anybody have a study Bible like this? I know I usually use my digital Bible, but now I got my study Bible, so I'm kind of like, just in case you have a problem with me always using a digital Bible, I got this just in case. Actually, do you read what the subtitle says on Isaiah 55? An invitation to an abundant life. I got an invitation to an abundant life. Oh, guess what? You got an invitation to an abundant life. Let me tell you what it is, how you get there. Since we're invited, let's go there. Amen. That's a good idea, guys. And he says this. He says, ho. I think that's like, come on. Hey, ho. I don't know how to. That's way too much fun. Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come and buy and eat. I want us to listen to this. I want us to go through this as we go through this. There is so much of all that he's referring to in here. He's saying, you come, you do, you surrender, you give, you enlist, you go, you come on, let's do this. Because it's actually saying there's so much of it that's for us to do. says, come and buy. Yes, come and buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen. That's an active part on yours. Open up your ears. Listen. Hello? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good. That's an active part on yours. To partake, eat what is good. You guys listening?
Yeah.
Well, this is good stuff, I'm telling you. Incline your ear and come to me. Incline your ear. That's an active part on you. Incline your ear to me. Point it towards me. If this is the extent of your inclination towards God, in other words, Sunday morning here, that's a whole lot of inclination towards a whole lot of other stuff that's not towards God. You guys with me on that? Incline your ear towards me. Hear me, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you. The sure mercies of David, indeed, I have given him as a witness to the people, a leader and commander for the people. Surely, surely you shall call a nation you do not know, and nations who do not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. That's an active part on your end and on my end. Call upon him while he is near. We must do that. Let the wicked forsake his way. That's an active part on my end. Turn away from stuff that is not of God. Just forsake it. Get away from it. Run away from it. Don't participate in it anymore. Repent of it in Jesus' name by his grace through faith. Amen?
Amen.
Woo! Yeah. And yes. Amen. Amen. Did you guys hear that?
Yes.
Did everybody hear what Linda just said?
No.
Pay attention. This is for you.
This is for somebody special. I don't know, but the words that are here right now is for someone to take heed to on what is being said.
Amen.
No, it comes to him, but the work that he has for you.
Amen.
I don't know.
Yes. No. I believe it 100%. I've sensed it from the beginning of the preparation of this. This is for someone in particular, but there's also many that we're going to take this and we're going to say, this is where I need to go. Amen. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. You have power over your thoughts, my friends. Just because you think it doesn't mean it's true, therefore it doesn't mean you have to say it. Well, no, I'm serious. Take your thoughts captive before you speak them out. And that's an exhortation from somebody who has not done that a whole lot. In other words, I've learned a lot of lessons from saying things that before I've taken the thought captive and made it obedient to Christ. Instead, that thought, because I think it, do you see how, whoa, did you just see that? I just did that. I just gave you an example, and that was pretty cool. For me it was, anyway. So I'll clue you in on it. Is how many times do I cancel the word of God because my thoughts, I think, are more right and true than even God's word? Hello? Okay. So we can do it. We can cancel the word of God even in our own thoughts because we think that our thoughts are more true than God's word. And they can take precedence. Or even thoughts on God's word. Is that what you said? Yeah. Amen. Thank you. Yeah. And that becomes even more of a delusion because then we think I'm being all righteous and you know, holy. Got the holy dance going on, you know. Got the holy dance because I'm, you know, it's God's word and I'm just thinking thoughts on it and I'm blah, 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 and it's not doing anything. I'm serious. I had a, oh, it's a good one. I had a vision. Golly, I gotta go. One time, and it was of a brother of mine that was so intent on pounding the word of God into people's lives. Pounding it. Making sure that they heard it. It was a vision. It actually was a dream that woke me up one time, and I don't know if I've ever shared it with anybody, actually. So I'm going to see if I can get it right, because it was a really long time ago. But it was in the moment of dealing with somebody that was really hurting, and the person, this friend of mine, was so intent on just beating him with the Bible. And I said, man, we need to stop, and let's love the person. Let's love him. Don't be so intent on beating him with the Bible until we love him first. And that was something that God showed me about. We need to be that as believers. Anyway, I'll leave it at that, because where did I leave off? Let's go. Let's keep going. Verse 7. So let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. That's a good word. Oh, that's so good news. I'm going to tell you, being forgiven is really good. If you don't know the forgiveness of God yet, I like to share it with you. It's really, really good. It's really good. The forgiveness of God tastes super sweet. Really sweet. Sweeter than any cheesecake or ice cream pie or whatever it is you can muster up. Even sweeter than Ed's cookies, and they're pretty good. I'm telling you, the forgiveness of God is pretty good. It's good. It is a sweetness to the forgiveness of God. There's a freeing, a liberation to walking in His forgiveness and His grace and His mercy. Amen. Amen. Just receive the forgiveness of God through Jesus. Abundantly pardoned. And then verse 8, and he says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word that goes forth from my mouth, it shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Hear this and understand this. In the context of what he's referring to there and what he's saying that there, he's saying that, yes, my word, as it goes out, it is to penetrate and it is to infiltrate. It is to take over. Absolutely. You understand that? But it's to penetrate the hearts that say yes, that turn to him. When we put anything, God is such a loving, sovereign God. He is so loving and sovereign. Do you understand this? And I needed you to hear this. That he does not need you. He wants you. And he likes you. And he's looking to bless you and give to you. And in that freeness, which none of us can really even comprehend, because we need to be needed. You and I need to be needed. That's why we don't get it. And that's why when we make God in our image, we present him as a God that needs to be needed. And that's not God. God doesn't need to be needed. Then he wouldn't be God. Okay, I'll move on, because that got really deep, right? You get it, Cordell? Yeah, I get it. Okay. That's a deep one. And in that, he says, my word will not return void. It's dependent on the receptive soil. The receptive soil. Why did Jesus teach a parable on the soils, the seed that was scattered? The word of God is the seed that was scattered. And the soils, the word of God fell on all soils. And it was the soil that actually took the word of God, and it allowed it to penetrate into the depths of the soil. to where it actually, it rooted first, and then it sprung up and produced life. And in that springing up and producing life, from that life produced fruit. And from that fruit was produced what it was supposed to be, the fruit, so that others can participate, others can enjoy the fruit of this life, the abundant life that God has rooted in us and given us life so that we can give fruit to others. Hello? Okay. Oh, okay. I got one more passage of scripture and then we're going to go because I know I'm moving on. The Holy Spirit's speaking a lot more than what I'm saying. John chapter 15, and I'm going to finish it up because it's awesome. John chapter 15, starting in verse 1, and I got about, I don't know, a few verses to read. But I'm going to do this before I read these verses, passage of scripture, John chapter 15, talking about the vine and the branches. I need to give you a definition of a word. And the definition of this word is pertinent. It's extremely important to understanding what Jesus is speaking of the vine and the branches here. And the word is abide. To abide. It's not a word that you and I use very often, so I'm going to define it six different ways from the dictionary so that you understand it fully as much as possible. You guys with me?
Yeah.
To abide. To abide. It means to remain and continue, to stay with. To abide means to have one's abode with, to dwell, to reside. To abide means to continue in a particular condition, an attitude, and a relationship with. Still with me?
Yeah.
Listen, okay. Now, it also means to do this. To abide means to put up with, to tolerate, to stand with. To abide means to endure, to sustain, and to withstand. That means it doesn't without yielding or submitting to. In other words, it does not let anything else affect it because I'm standing on that which I am now abiding in. Hello?
Yeah.
I'm serious. It's right in the dictionary. I just printed it out. That's all I did. To abide is to wait for, to await. This dictionary must have been a little bit, had a little, because it says, to abide the coming of the Lord. I like that dictionary. It's just a dictionary app on my iDevice. To accept, to abide means to accept without opposition or question. This is a good one. To abide, to pay the price or penalty of, to suffer for. To act in accord with, to submit to agree with. To remain steadfast and faithful, to keep with. If you make a promise, you abide by it. Now let me read John chapter 15. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. And if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch, and it is withered. And they gather them, and they throw them into the fire, and they are burned. Verse 7, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. For this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so that you will be my disciples. You guys hear what he's saying there? That last verse, verse 7, is this. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you. Let me just sum it up this way. Is the abode with Christ, as we abide in Christ and he abides in us. That means we are aligning ourselves. We are getting into the presence of God. When we align ourselves and jump into and walk in the presence of God. We are abiding in Christ, and Christ is abiding in us. Correct?
Yes.
Now there's this other level of now, as my words abide in you. You understand what he's saying there? That means we are giving his word, precedence, where everything, every concept becomes conviction. Every word, every dot, and every tittle becomes something that has the power to impact my life. If I do not give it that, then it simply remains a concept, and it will go to a delusion and a deception within me. And even farther, as Jesus says, it will cancel out. Yikes. We must. I'm talking, and obviously I don't have time to go through the many concepts and the many scriptures. All of scripture is God-breathed, and it's for the edification, and it's for the teaching. It's for us to, not just for ourselves, but so that we can be fruit and life to others. The invitation to abundant life is for you so that you can give it to others. We need to know that. But we need to know, and I'm going to tell you this, is there's principles in Scripture that are kingdom-oriented. And there's principles in Scripture that we need to look to and understand, and we need to seek out, and we need to search, that are contradictory to the world's ways. You understand what I'm saying in this? Follow with me for just one more second. Worldly wisdom is wise to the world, but it's foolishness to God. Worldly wisdom is going to sound right to everybody else, but it's going to sound wrong to God's word. It's going to contradict. That means if I'm on board for this and with this, and I personally am, and I'm inviting all to get on board with me, that means I give this precedence. Even my own thoughts, even my alignment with a political party, even my alignment with the denominational church or non-denominational church, which we got to be careful about, because that can become denominationalism. Non-denominationalism is ism. It's divisive. And I must put this above precedence. And I must give it full reign. This symbolizes God's word. This is God's word. The Bible. God's word must take precedence over any and all of anything and all that I do. In the name of Jesus, for his glory. You guys understand that? And you're not doing it on your own. Sorry, you're just not. For one, you need the Holy Spirit. And for another, you need a church. You do. And it's in there like that. It says it like that in there. The world says otherwise. They say otherwise.
I got YouTube.
Yeah, so does our brain. I don't need all these people. These people are horrible. Man, in fact, they cause more problems for me than I get out of, so I'm going off by myself. Me and God, we're doing this. It's not in there like that. Give it precedence. Hello? Let's pray. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for your goodness, that you are for us. You are for us. And we don't deserve that. And we call that grace. And then we call mercy the thing that you're not giving us, that which we do deserve. And we're thankful and grateful for your grace and your mercy. And we praise you and we worship you in all that we do. May you be glorified as we humbly submit to you, even in the tough areas of our life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.